This is ATCCommunication.com audio lesson number 6 for 26 March 2011. I'm your host, Jeff Knarish. And as you could probably tell from that introduction, today's show is going to be a little bit different. We've got a fairly serious topic to cover, and by way of introduction, I'd like you to listen to the following audio clip.
Officer 6A147, thanks for the patience. Contact ground point 6 off the runway of Bravo.
Officer Bravo, getting in the ground. Good job.
89 kilo whiskey, hold short of correction. Keep your speed up. Cross runway 2 left and then contact ground point 6.
Okay, we'll cross that attack quickly and go to ground.
Whiskey Romeo, fly runway, heading runway 2 right, clear for takeoff, no delay or departure.
2 right, clear to go, no delay, 30 Whiskey Romeo.
7020 Lima Peachtree Tower, runway 2 left, clear for takeoff, and left turn out to the southwest is approved.
30
Whiskey Romeo, no delay or departure, roll, clear for takeoff.
Now we're going.
60 Whiskey Charlie, continue on the downwind for 2 left.
Downwind 2 left.
4-5 Kilo Golf, use caution for numerous aircraft on the left, face the final landing parallel runway, ahead and to your left.
Roger.
Over 0-2 Echo, continue down to, you turn left here, hold short of 2 left, remain this frequency.
Echo, left, hold short of the left side.
Well, that sounded really good, didn't it? The controller in the tower was giving clear, concise instructions. The pilots were reading back the clearances almost instantaneously. Everybody was moving, things were happening. It sounded extremely professional. You listened to 1 minute and 3 seconds of audio exchange. There were 8 different instructions given and 8 different readbacks. And you know of those 8 readbacks, exactly 0 were done correctly. 0. There were dropped call signs. There was non-standard phraseology. And in some cases, there was both no call sign and non-standard phraseology. And yet, nobody got hurt. All planes landed safely. All the airplanes took off safely. All airplanes crossed taxiways safely. So why am I even presenting this to you? When you get away with making radio calls that are non-standard, don't conform to phraseology written in the air traffic control manual or the aeronautical information manual, and you get away with it over and over again, well, that's an indication that it's okay to do it that way. If you say to an air traffic controller, I'm climbing to 14, or a controller clears you for takeoff and you respond clear to go, well, likely the controller understands what you're talking about and you're going to get away with it over and over and over again. And so non-standard phraseology becomes a way of life. It's just how you do business. But one day, someday, when you least expect it, the circumstances are going to be exactly wrong. You're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and saying the wrong thing on the radio is going to get you into a world of trouble. And for a classic example of what I'm talking about, let's go back 34 years, almost to the day, March 27th, 1977, a day that marks the second greatest air disaster in history, second only to the World Trade Center crashes in 9/11/2001. And ironically, back in 1977, the whole chain of events that led to this air disaster began with a terrorist bombing. And the bombing occurred at Las Palmas Airport at Gran Canaria Island in the Canary Islands. Airplanes that were inbound to this resort island had to divert and land elsewhere. And where most of them landed was at the Canary Island Tenerife. And as soon as I say that name, you probably know what I'm talking about. But in case you don't, or the incident is fuzzy in your mind, let me give you a little background. A whole bunch of airliners were inbound to Gran Canary, diverted, landed at Tenerife, which was a much smaller airport nearby, and was not set up to handle that many airplanes at once. As a matter of fact, the ramp filled up so quickly that the largest of the airliners had to be parked on the taxiway parallel to the main runway, runway 12/runway 30. For airplanes to get from their parking position to departure position on the runway, they'd actually have to taxi down the runway, reverse direction, turn around, and then take off. This is not a big deal. At many airports around the world, the only way to get to the departure position on the runway is by going down the runway, taxiing on the runway. In the United States, we call that back taxiing, and everywhere else in the world, they call it backtracking. So it was not a big deal when just a little bit before 5 o'clock, Royal Dutch Airlines KLM 4805 contacts Los Rodeos Tower and requests taxi instructions to the active runway. The sun is setting, the temperature is dropping, and cool ocean breezes are flowing in over the humid island, causing reduction in visibility. As a matter of fact, at the time of the incident, the surface visibility at the airport was down to only 300 meters. That's 1,000 feet. That means that pilots and various airplanes cannot see each other, and certainly the air traffic control tower cannot see far enough through that fog to see airplanes that were taxiing. The only way air traffic control could know where airplanes were on the airport was by pilots making position reports on the radio. And that created this transcript that I'm about to replay for you. And the way I'm doing it here is I don't have professional voice actors, so I've used computer-generated voices. There is no doubt in this accident there were a lot of causal factors. There was the low visibility. There was the fact that the airport was packed. There were language differences with different accents, different ways of speaking. There were human factors within the cockpits where pilots who could have spoken up and prevented this disaster by saying something to other pilots did not speak up when necessary. So there were a whole lot of factors involved here. But the single deciding factor, the one that caused two 747s to collide with each other on the runway, was the use of non-standard phraseology. I'm about to play this transcript, and I want you to listen to the last three transmissions very, very carefully, because I've reproduced them exactly, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Here's the replay.
Approach KLM 4805 on the ground in Tenerife.
KLM 4805, roger.
We require backtrack on 124 takeoff runway 30.
Okay, 4805, taxi to the holding position runway 30. Taxi into the runway and leave runway 3rd to your left.
Roger, sir. Entering the runway at this time on the first taxiway, we go off the runway again for the beginning of runway 30.
Okay, KLM 80. Correction, 4805, taxi straight ahead for the runway and make backtrack.
Roger, make backtrack. KLM 4805 is now on the runway.
4805, roger.
Approach, you want us to turn left at Charlie 1, taxiway Charlie 1?
Negative, negative, taxi straight ahead, up to the end of the runway and make backtrack.
Okay, sir.
Tenerife, the Clipper 1736.
Clipper 1736, Tenerife.
We were instructed to contact you and also to taxi down the runway, is that correct?
Affirmative, taxi into the runway and leave the runway 3rd, 3rd to your left.
3rd to the left, okay.
3rd 1 to your left. KLM 4805, how many taxiway did you pass?
I think we just passed Charlie 4 now.
Okay, at the end of the runway make 180 and report. Ready. For ATC clearance.
Will you confirm that you want the Clipper 1736 to turn left at the 3rd intersection?
The 3rd one, sir. 1, 2, 3, 3rd, 3rd 1.
Very good, thank you.
7136, report leaving the runway.
Clipper 1736.
8705 and Clipper 1736, for your information, the center line lighting is out of service.
I copy that.
Clipper 1736.
The KLM 4805 is now ready for takeoff and we're waiting for our ATC clearance.
KLM 8705, you are cleared to the Papa Beacon. Climb to and maintain flight level 90, right turn after takeoff proceed with heading 040 until intercepting the 325 radial from Las Palmas VOR.
Roger, sir, we're cleared to the Papa Beacon flight level 90, right turn out 040 until intercepting the 325. And we're now at takeoff.
Okay.
We are still taxiing down the runway, the Clipper 1736.
Papa Alpha 1736, report runway clear.
Okay, we'll report when we're clear.
At 5:06 and 56 seconds on a foggy evening on the island of Tenerife, a KLM 747 struck a Pan Am 747 about midship. There were a lot of factors involved, including low visibility and human factors, but the single most important thing that caused this accident was non-standard radio phraseology. Did you catch the problem? I'm going to play the critical passages again, and this time, that one blocked radio call where Tower and Pan Am were trying to talk at the same time, I'm going to remove the Pan Am radio call so you can hear what Tower was trying to say. Here it is one more time.
Right turn after takeoff, proceed with heading 040.
Right turn out 040 until intercepting the 325. And we're now at takeoff.
Okay.
And finally, here is the blocked transmission. The transmission that Tower made, but Clipper 1736 talked on top of and you couldn't hear. Here is that blocked transmission that could have saved everything.
Stand by for takeoff. I will call you.
Most pilots, military and civilian, professional and hobbyist, use non-standard radio phraseology at one time or another, and many pilots use non-standard phraseology as a practical way of doing business. It's just what they do day in and day out. And the reason is, most of the time, you can say what you like and you'll get away with it. But it only takes a time, one time, to say the wrong thing at the wrong place to get yourself and perhaps a whole lot of other people in deep, serious trouble. So make up your own mind. Are you going to do it the standard way or your way? I'm Jeff Canarish. This has been ATCCommunication.com, audio lesson number 6. Thanks for listening. Be well and fly safe.